Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And by the way, there's an outline sheet in the bulletin that you can also use as we follow along in our study of the scriptures. We're continuing our series of messages on the life of Peter, the apostle, and learning lessons from the life of a fisherman, we were calling it. And today we get to John chapter 21 and verses 15 through 25. The title of the message is, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And you'll see why I gave it that title as we look at it later. But to get us started here, let's look at verse 15. It says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit of God may speak to each of our hearts today. In some ways, this is a very familiar passage, and yet, Lord, there are some things here that each of us can learn from the life of Peter. I just pray, Lord, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, move in our midst in a special way. Help us to put aside all these distractions of life. Help us to have a heart and mind that's open to you and your word. And we pray, Lord, help us today to truly realize what it means to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you can recall from previous messages, the Apostle Peter the disciple, had had a rough week. And we had talked about how that he had gone through the motions of denying the Lord three times. And it's interesting that when Peter denied the Lord those three times, he was in Pilate's courtyard and he was standing by a fire that was started. And so now here is the Lord Jesus with his disciples after his resurrection. He had died on the cross and he rose again the third day. And now this is one of those special appearances that Jesus makes to his disciples. Later on in the scriptures, we know that Jesus ascends up into heaven, and of course he is there at the Father's right hand making intercession for us even now. And he promises one day to return for his own. But it's interesting that here is Peter again by a fire, and the Lord Jesus is there. And now as the disciples had been eating this meal that Jesus himself had prepared for them, Jesus directs his attention solely to Peter and says some things to help Peter to make a spiritual recovery in his life. There are times when individuals need to have a spiritual recovery. Perhaps at one time they were walking in close fellowship with the Lord, but perhaps something happened in their life that distracted them from their devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that, they drifted so that they were not as close to the Savior as they used to be. And Peter was going through that right now in this passage. And Jesus is making a way for him to be spiritually restored back to a close fellowship with him. And so there's many things here that we can learn from today. Notice that after eating this breakfast together, Jesus asked Peter a very important question. He says to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah." Now remember, we've talked about this before in our study of Peter's life. There were times in Peter's life that he was called Peter, the rock. And in many ways, there were some very strong moments in his walk with God and in his faith where Peter was indeed acting like Peter, the rock. But this was a time in Peter's life where he was weak and wounded, spiritually speaking. And do you notice that Jesus refers to him now as Simon, son of Jonah? That was what Peter was known for. That was what he went by before he started following the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is deliberately using his old name here. He says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Years ago, I misunderstood what Jesus meant when he asked that question to Peter. I always thought, and maybe you had thought this as well, when Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" that Jesus was referring to Peter's love for fishing, his fishing boat, and just the going out and doing his fishing, and the fact that they caught this, with the Lord's help, of course, 153 fish. That perhaps Jesus was saying, "Do you love me, Peter, more than this, the fishing and these fish that you caught?" And for a long time, that's what I thought it meant. But then I did a deeper digging into the passage, and I realized that in the Greek text, and remember, the New Testament was originally written in Koine Greek. We're reading an English translation of the Greek. But in the Greek, it's very clear that when he says, "Do you love me more than these?" he's not talking about fishing. He's not talking about the 153 fish. Jesus is talking about these other disciples who are also gathered around the fireplace. And if you stop to think about it, it makes sense. Remember what Peter kept insisting again and again and again, that if everybody else deserted Jesus, that he would never desert him. Remember? Let me quote a few to you. Matthew 26, verse 33. Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Even if all were made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Matthew 26, 35. "Even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I will not deny you." Mark 14, 29. "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not." And then even in John's Gospel, John 13, verse 37, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." And you remember that time and time again. He says, if all these other guys desert you, Lord, and deny you and turn from you, not me. I'm going to be true blue. I will be with you even if it costs my life. But you know what happened, don't you? The Bible says, "He that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall." And that was Peter's case. He ended up denying the Lord three times. All along, Peter was measuring his devotion and his love to Jesus by comparing himself to everybody else. If everybody else fails you, I'm not going to. Now, in light of that, look again at that question that Jesus asked Peter. He says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these guys?" You see what he's saying? "You thought you did, Peter. But I'm even calling you by the name that you had before you met me now. Simon, son of Jonah, do you really love me more than these other fellows?" And by the way, what an important lesson this is for all of us. We cannot measure how much we love the Lord by comparing ourselves to others. And sometimes I think we're all guilty of that. "Well, I must be a pretty good Christian because I don't do this and that and the other thing like some of these other guys." Have you ever thought of that? "Well, I've got a list of do's and don'ts that I keep, and so I must be a pretty good Christian." And sometimes all of us can fall to that kind of thinking. And Peter had fallen to that. And so he says, "Do you love me more than these?" And Peter says to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he says to him, "Feed my sheep." And then Jesus asks a second question, and it's a little slightly different. See if you pick up the difference. First question was, "Do you love me more than these?" Now look at the second question in verse 16. And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" What's the difference? First question was, do you think you really love me more than these other fellows? Now he's questioning something more. "Peter, do you even really love me?" You see the question he's asking him here. And Peter's response was, he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." In the first question, Jesus wanted to hear it from Peter's own words, if he still felt that he loved him more than the other disciples. The second question, Jesus is asking Peter, "Peter, do you even really love me?" One of the things that we don't see in the English translation of the Greek text here that's important, and maybe if you feel comfortable with marking your Bible, you might want to mark this out, or mark this in the margin. When Jesus said, "Do you love me?" the first question in verse 15 and the second question in verse 16, Jesus uses the word agape for love. And agape is the highest expression for love in the New Testament. John 3:16, "For God so agaped the world that he gave his only begotten Son." It is the highest expression of love. It's the kind of love that God has for us. It's the kind of love that the Bible says a husband is to have for his wife, agape love. It is a kind of love that speaks of the highest motivation in loving someone. You're not thinking of yourself. You're totally thinking of that other individual. And you're putting that other individual ahead of yourself. That's all caught up in agape love. It's a sacrificial kind of love where you're willing to sacrifice any interest that you have for the benefit of the person that you love. All of that is wrapped up in that concept. But here's what else you need to mark. In the three responses that Peter gives to Jesus, Jesus never answers back, "Oh, you know I love, agape love you." Peter uses a different word. He uses the Greek word phileo. Phileo is love. It means love, and it's rightly translated love. But it's a love that's in a different category. It's a love on a different level. Some of you already know what phileo means. Have you ever heard the name Philadelphia? Anybody from Pennsylvania here? All right. What's the nickname of the city of Philadelphia? The city of brotherly love. And that kind of helps you to understand phileo love. It's based on a mutual interest. You're my brother, of course, so I've got to love you. You're my brother. And you've got to love me because I'm your brother, right? And so phileo love is love, but it's based on that mutual connection, that mutual interest. It is a love that is in a different category. Whereas agape love is a love that is totally dedicated to the well-being of others, even if that means I'm sacrificing any kind of desire or interest that I might have. That's kind of in a nutshell the basic difference. And Jesus keeps saying to Peter, Peter, do you agape love me? Do you love me at that level? And Peter says, well, you know I'm your friend. That's basically what he's saying here. The kind of love that Jesus was asking Peter if he had was that agape love, and each time Peter could only say, I have phileo love for you. But then there's a third time, and this is even a little different than the first two times. Look at verse 17. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah. See, he's not impressed with the answers that Peter is giving him. He keeps calling him by his old name. He says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? Now, wait a minute. Why is Peter grieved when it looks like it's the same question he asked before? Because it's not the same question. The first two times, Jesus uses the word agape. The third time, when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Jesus uses the same word that Peter had already said twice. He's saying, do you even phileo love me? Before it was, do you agape love me, Peter? Do you agape love me? Now he's saying, do you even phileo love me? You see the difference? And so, of course, Peter's grieved. Because Jesus is even questioning, do you even consider me your friend? Now, let's not wonder, why is Jesus doing this? Because remember what Jesus is doing here? He's trying to restore Peter. He's trying to get Peter to face what his problem is. And in order to do that, just like sometimes you need surgery and you don't really want surgery, but having that surgery is actually going to help you. And even though it's painful, you know I need to have that surgery because it'll be better after that. And Jesus is doing some spiritual surgery here on Peter's heart. And it's painful. But it's out of love that Jesus has for Peter, and also because Peter is going to play a key role in the future of the church. He's got to be spiritually ready for that. And so he puts them through these questions. And that third question tears at the heart of Peter. He's grieved. He is heavy in sadness and grief. It affects him emotionally. But Jesus wants Peter to say out loud with his words how he really felt about him, because three times he had done what? Denied the Lord. And also notice something else in verses 15, 16, and 17. After each response, Jesus tells Peter, you've got a job to do. If you love me, you've got something, a responsibility that I'm counting on you to carry out. And what is it? You look at verse 15, and he said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him, shepherd my sheep. Look at verse 17. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Peter knew that Jesus was the good shepherd. He had heard Jesus talk about how that I am the shepherd and I lay down my life for the sheep. But now Jesus is calling on Peter to shepherd his sheep. He's going to be ascending up into heaven, and it's now up to Peter and the apostles to shepherd the flock as the church is born. They're going to be a foundation of building blocks of this church that Jesus is going to build. And especially Peter's got this responsibility to see that the sheep are being fed, that the sheep are being looked after and cared for, that as they go from lambs to sheep, that they are nourished and strengthened along the way. And by the way, that's one of the things I'm supposed to do as your shepherd. There's a lot of things that preachers can be sidelined and sidetracked, doing all kinds of little things off to the side. But you didn't bring me here to be your pastor to turn on the lights and go run errands and do things like that. It's not that I'm too proud to do those kind of things. But God put me here to feed the sheep and to watch over the flock and to care for God's lambs. That's my position here. That's my responsibility before God. Peter would later on write in 1 Peter 5, the elders who are among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not being lords over those entrusted to you, but by being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory, which does not fade away. That's a big responsibility. Jesus each time tells Peter, you have a job ahead of you, but you've got to get something settled here and now. Do you really love me? Do you really love me? And then Jesus tells Peter something else. He reveals to Peter what the future holds for him. But he also shows Peter what is his main problem. Why did Peter have the failures that he had? And think back as we've covered the life of Peter. Peter had moments of great success and faithfulness, and he stood like a rock. But think of the times when he didn't do that. What got him into trouble? Look what Jesus says to him in verses 18 and 19. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you. And then notice, suddenly Jesus goes from talking about Peter being a shepherd of the sheep to talking about this. It's not disconnected at all. This is what Peter is going to have to do one day. And Jesus is making sure that he is ready to do it. Look what he says. Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where, what? Where you wanted to. Think of all the times Peter messed up. Wasn't it when Peter says, I think it ought to be this way? They're on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus shows some of his glory to Peter, James, and John. And what does Peter say? Hey, let's build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. I got a great idea. He had a habit of doing that, didn't he? Jesus says to the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to be dying. And I'll rise again the third day. Peter grabs him and takes him aside. Oh, not so, Lord. You can't do that. That's not what I think you should be doing. Remember? He had a bad habit of doing that. And now Jesus is going to say, here's what your future is and here's where your problem is, Peter. He says, when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where you wish. But when you are old, down the road, Peter, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And John the apostle, by the way, who lived longer than all the other apostles and he saw this happen, he knew about this. He writes actually after the fact. By the time John writes this gospel, this had already happened to Peter. John says a little comment. He says, this Jesus spoke, signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. You know what church history says how Peter died? Does anybody know about that? They crucified Peter. He got to the point where they said, all right, you're talking about this crucified Jesus that we ought to believe in. The Roman government says, we're going to crucify you. And according to a church tradition, we can't prove it, of course. It's not in the scriptures. But you know what church tradition says that Peter said at that point? He says, I'm not worthy to die the same way Jesus did. I want you to crucify me upside down. And that's how he died. Jesus says, Peter, you're going to end up in a rough spot. And you better be ready for it. You better know that you really love me. Because it's going to cost you your life. Grow up to this point, Peter, you've been doing what you want to do. But Peter, do you love me with agape love? You're not going to worry about what you want anymore. You're going to focus on what does the Lord want. That's agape love. Do you love me that way, Jesus, or Peter? And Peter does learn to love the Lord that way. And he ends up giving his life for the Savior. And so Jesus shows Peter his problem, and at the same time, we're seeing our problem, aren't we? How many times do we get in spiritual trouble because we think we know more than God? And we say, I think it ought to be this way, Lord. Not so, Lord. And that's what gets us in trouble. And Jesus would say to each one of us today, are you loving me with that agape love? That agape love. And then Peter does something else. Look at first notice after he tells him that, he says, last part of verse 19. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me. Follow me, Peter. That's what you've got to do." Remember years ago when you were a commercial fisherman and you were Simon, son of Jonah, and you were out there fishing, and then you came in and you mended your nets and you were along the shoreline. That's when I came up to you and I said, "Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men." And you started fishing me and you left your boat and your nets behind. He's saying to Peter, "You need to start doing that again. Start following me again here, Peter." Then Peter does this. Look at verse 20. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who had also leaned on his breast at the supper. Who do you think that is? It's John. John never refers to himself in this gospel that he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He always says, "It's the disciple whom Jesus loved." That's how he describes himself. So he's talking about John, and like I said earlier, John ends up, he's the last to die of the original disciples. And so Peter says, "Oh man, I don't have a pretty bright future, it looks like." And he sees John, and he knows Jesus loves John, and he says, "Well, what about John here? If I'm going to have something bad happen to me, shouldn't he have something bad happen to him?" And Peter is showing another mistake. Well, actually, it's the same. He's comparing himself to others. And what's the answer that Jesus gives in this? It says, Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me." Don't worry about John. Worry about Peter. Don't worry about what I have planned for John's life. Worry about what I have planned for your life. Don't keep comparing yourself to other people. Start thinking about how much am I loving Jesus. What a lesson for all of us today, for the church in general today. We're always comparing ourselves to others and saying, we're pretty good here because we're not like these other guys. And what Jesus would probably say to all of us is, stop looking at everybody else and start looking at me and asking yourself, how much do you love me? I read a comment in a commentary. Let's see, I wrote it down here somewhere. Here it is. Says, Jesus doesn't settle for quick, superficial answers. He has a way of getting to the heart of the matter. Peter had to face his true feelings and motives when Jesus confronted him. How would we respond if Jesus asked us, "Do you really love me?" And that's really the question in front of us. Because what Jesus wants from us more than anything else, he doesn't need our fish. He isn't looking for us to do our big plans for God. What Jesus wants from you and I more than anything else is our love. It's our love. And he says, "Do you love me?" Remember in the book of Revelation that was written by the Apostle John, the last book of the Bible, there was a church called the Church of Ephesus. And in many ways, it was an outstanding church. It was theologically correct in so many ways, and it was a very busy and active church. They had a lot of things going on, and Jesus knew about it and said something good about it. But he had a warning to that church in Ephesus. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored in my name's sake and have not become weary. That sounds like a church I want to join. Doesn't it? He says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Peter, do you love me? That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, the best I can, I've tried to express what you show me in this passage. But the Holy Spirit has to do the work in our hearts. Help us to think again and again and again of this question: how much do I really love Jesus? And help us to take a look at our priorities and our schedules and our activities and all of the other things that we do, and ask ourselves, is this something we do because we love Jesus? Whether it's playing the piano, or whether it's singing, or whether it's doing the different things that we do in your name. Am I doing it because I love Jesus? Because that's what you want from us, our love. And not just a relational love that, because we're a Christian, of course we love Jesus, but where we are willing to sacrifice our own interests, our own plans, in order to bring glory to you. Help us, Lord, to learn from Peter today. In Jesus' name, amen.